Hello world, it's Mike Traverso with the Friends That Code podcast, where I get a chance to showcase some amazing people that I just happen to know that write code for a living. I feel so lucky today to have today's guest stopping by to talk to us. I've been a big fan of hers for a long time and her work for giving conference talks, and she's just been an inspiration to me and has helped me get to applying to speak at conferences, but also to help organize conferences. I started following her on Twitter a number of years ago and finally got to meet her when we were able to get her down to Florida to have her speak at DevFest Florida. Today's guest is an Android Google developer expert, a certification bestowed by Google to the best of the best. And in that role, she has traveled globally to speak on Kotlin and Android development. While she does give a lot of talks at conferences around the world, she also teaches a set of LinkedIn learning courses that are part of the Prepare for the Google Associate Android Developer Certification. So if you're thinking of jumping into mobile development or Android development, I highly encourage you, everyone, to check that out. And while her work as a conference speaker is inspiring, her resume is even more so. She's worked overseas for a bit, but is now back in the United States working as the Director of Engineering at Meetup. Really cool website to help you get your events and whatnot sorted. Technologist, Android expert, speaker, published poet, all-around inspiration. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest is the incredible Anise Davis. Anise, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Hi, thanks for having me. Thanks for the amazing introduction.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, that's just, like I said, following you on Twitter for a long time. I've been to a DevFest DC once, and you're an inspiration. So,
oh, thank you.
Wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Oh, absolutely. So I wanted to ask, you know, how are you doing today with everything going on in the world? I hope you're finding time to, you know, get some time to relax and maybe enjoy a little bit of the not traveling around as much.
Yeah, if you would have caught me any other week but this week, I would have said life is extremely hectic. But as it turns out, Meetup gave the entire company off this week, which is amazing.
Nice.
And I'm just kind of relaxing and cooking and doing laundry, just, I guess, being a regular person these days.
Well, that's nice. That's real nice. And that's the thing I think a lot of folks don't realize is that how much time as a developer you spend working, and when you add on top of it, you know, going around speaking at conferences, it adds up. And when you get a week like this for you, I mean, that's got to be huge.
Definitely. Awesome. It's definitely something that it's like you love it and you hate it. It's I love speaking at conferences. I absolutely love interacting with people and hearing their stories and trying to figure out ways to help them troubleshoot some issues they're experiencing. But it definitely takes so much time and energy.
Yeah. So speaking of which, I know, like, so there's no, every conference has been canceled, I think, at least in person. I know there's some virtual things that are going on. But, you know, I check my LinkedIn and I see you're speaking at the Mobius conference. And I'm like, wait a second, there's no conferences going on. And then I realized, like, they went to a virtual session. So what was that like?
Yeah, that was really interesting. First, I'll say they were extremely organized. I think maybe 2 weeks before the conference, they had a Slack group put together and they did a prep session with my technology. So just like running speed tests and making sure I had a quality microphone, et cetera, et cetera. So they really put a lot of effort to make sure that it was a high quality experience. The actual day of the event was also extremely organized. Like, we joined 45 minutes in advance of the talk to do some final checks and prep. And then we were in a sort of virtual green room waiting for our chance to go live. I personally feel it went extremely well, but it's so different speaking into a camera versus speaking to a live audience. And yeah. I miss that energy, the head nods or the smile, or you see someone taking screenshot. You just the whole energy that comes from engaging with the live audience, you just don't get it.
Yeah. And you know, for folks who are listening, like, we're recording this podcast over Squadcast FM. No plug to them, but just that's what we're doing. And so they don't record video, so we don't have it on. So it's one of these things, like, you know, when you talk about that feedback, we're just kind of getting that telephone kind of old school telephone experience here. So it's one of those things where I think, you know, what you mentioned, like, you get that, you know, amazing feedback, but I think over the past few months, I don't know about you, but I've just kind of gotten overwhelmed with all of the Zooms and the Hangouts and the, you know, all the video chats. It's just, you know, where do you look? Where does the other person think I'm looking? Do they think I'm being rude by not looking? So,
yeah, it's definitely tough. Moving into a role where mostly you're in meetings all day long. Right. And then after that, maybe my family wants to have a Zoom chat, or on the weekend, someone wants to invite me to some Zoom parties, and I'm just like, I'm all Zoomed out.
That's awesome. So at the Mobius conference, it sounds like because that's a whole other skill set to have a virtual conference with video. I mean, so that, from what you're saying, that's amazing that those folks had all of that put together and know, okay, we got to send microphones out, we've got to get the green room ready, know when to, you know, set up microphones and whatnot. That's pretty impressive. But you also, you had a teammate that you're giving the talk with. I mean, so, you know, what's that experience like for you, that, you know, you're going into this and you think, cause you're going to have that couple of minutes before a talk, like, to just iron everything out.
Yeah.
And obviously you're on the internet kind of doing it. So what's that like?
Yeah. So my partner in this talk, Wesney, she works at iHeartRadio, and we met, actually, I think we've only met once in person. And she reached out to me on LinkedIn a few months ago saying, yeah, I really want to give my first conference talk. I really want to get into speaking. And so it's something that really matters to me. And I said, hey, we should just do a joint talk together. So that was it. And we started working on an outline and putting things together, getting the slides done. So this was interesting for me because this was only the second time that I've done a co-presentation with someone. Mm-hmm. And we use Keynote, which is really nice because it has collaboration capabilities. When someone updates the slides, next time you log in, you know, it'll sync for you. So we use that to update our notes and add images and talk about designs and how we liked things in the layout of the slide deck. And then we would meet maybe every 2 or 3 weeks just to talk about the progress, how things were going. This was before we even had the talk accepted anywhere. So when the conference reached out in Russia and said, like, hey, we'd love for you to speak, I said, well, this is a talk I'm working on. Are you interested in this one? And they said, yeah, sure, we would love to have it. And then that kind of put the pressure on, and we wrapped up everything. But yeah, we had to have separate Zoom sessions. So some Saturdays we would just talk, say, hey, okay, you cover this session. All right. Well, I'll look at this section of the talk. And we did one practice run, I think maybe 3 or 4 days before the conference, where we just went through, said, okay, let's go through every single slide together and talk about what we want to say and make sure we're really clear on who owns what.
Yeah.
And I think that helped it to go very smoothly the day of the event.
And everything went smoothly?
Yeah, it did. Awesome. She did a great job. I was so proud of her, especially in this medium for your first conference talk.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
Awesome. That's excellent. You know, I think that's, you know, if there's one thing that we get folks to take away from this is that, you know, when you go into these conferences, or are you thinking of applying for a conference talk, just do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, you know, you're just speaking to folks and that are, you know, maybe equally as nervous to be there because they don't know anybody. So don't worry, everybody's nervous. Just go.
Just yeah. And people are rooting for you.
Yes.
Even though we couldn't see and engage with the audience, I'm sure they wanted it to be a success. No one goes to a conference and goes, yeah, I hope this speaker totally bombed. Like no one wants that. Everyone wants you to succeed. So when you go into something with that kind of positive mindset, I think it does help allay your fears to some extent.
Yeah. And you know, it's software developers are kind of a tribe, you know, and so we all do want each other to do well. I've never met anybody rooting for anybody to fail.
No, of course not.
But so you've had a lot of these speaking engagements before. What's been your favorite experience?
Okay. That is a good question.
So for conference organizers, like what should they be out there trying to do? That's basically why I'm asking.
I think my greatest experience as a speaker. Okay. So let me go at it from two different perspectives. So one, I gave a keynote presentation at a conference in Italy. And it was very difficult for me to gauge the audience because it was dark. I couldn't really see the people, and they were very quiet. So when it was over, I kind of walked off stage, you know, just like a big, I totally bombed. You know, they'll never invite me again. And I was really down on myself after that talk. But then one by one, people started coming up to me saying, like, thank you so much for that talk. The one slide where you said this, it really resonated with me. And this thing is happening at my job. And it just kept happening one by one by one. And that was such a great experience for me because, one, it teaches you that the way the audience reacts to your talk differs by region, country, background of the people in the audience. So you have to kind of keep that in mind as you're preparing each talk. Well, what's the audience makeup? Where will I be, et cetera? So that taught me a lot about just being in Northern Italy and how crowds would respond to the keynote. And then just not to be so down on myself and so hard on myself when I give a talk. If I know I did my very best, then just be proud and happy because of that. So that's the one perspective. And then the second perspective of my greatest experience as a speaker, I will say I was totally spoiled and pampered at an OrDev conference in Sweden.
Wow, okay. And
they have you come out 2 days before the actual event. And you have a special dinner and you go to a spa. They give you a tour of the city. And I got to explore some castle in Sweden. It was just amazing. They took care of the booking for your flight and hotel. So I thought that was kind of a great experience because I didn't have to think about anything. Like, it was just all done.
That's sweet. I mean, when they are doing that's got to be nice. I mean, we tried when we did DevFest Florida, but we were kind of like running out of budget. And we were, you know, when we were doing it at Disney, we're like, should we get folks spa treatments? And
yeah,
we thought about it though.
Beautiful. But that was a beautiful conference.
We did think about getting spa treatments though. Just want to let you know.
Spa treatments will always win me over every time.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was? We came in, it was like 30 people. So we were like,
It's expensive. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just the spas aren't big enough to handle that many. So you'd have to like, it was a whole other thing. But anyway, I digress. You've organized DevFest DC. Harder to organize a conference or speak at one?
Harder to organize.
Yep.
So much harder.
I've only spoken at a couple of conferences, but it is way harder to organize one because speaking, you kind of can just show up.
Yep.
I mean,
even you have to prepare your talk, obviously, yes. Right? Yes. But people don't realize until you've organized an event, there's so much happening behind the scenes. Just having Wi-Fi, okay? Just having Wi-Fi is a whole 2-3 meetings. Yeah. What kind of coffee? What will we have with the coffee? Okay. If they leave the coffee out all day, if they leave the coffee for 2 hours at a time. And I mean, every single thing costs money.
Yep.
And depending on who you get to sponsor, just the sponsorship packages, who's going to write the packages, who's going to, there's so much involved. So I really just am grateful to people who put that energy into organizing conferences. It's somewhat of a thankless job because people will only remember things that go bad. But there's so much that goes into it behind the scenes.
Yeah. But definitely, I mean, whenever you get a chance to go and partake in organizing, you know, volunteering, definitely do it because you'll learn a lot.
Yes.
You learn a whole lot.
Yeah, you will.
So pivoting a bit, could you tell us a little bit about the Android Dev Challenge program that I've seen a bit about this on Twitter in lieu of, I guess, I.O.? Could you tell us about what that program was and how you got to participate in it?
Oh, sure. The Android Developer Challenge gives developers around the world an opportunity to use machine learning in some interesting way for social good. And the winners, so there were like 9 or 10 winners totally this time. And they were using, a lot of them were using TensorFlow Lite models in an Android app in some very clever ways. Just to give you a few examples, one app was called Leapy, and that app teaches children American Sign Language, and it's using your camera along with machine learning models to recognize that you're properly forming the signs, which I thought was totally
that is cool, really cool,
clever, amazing way to use machine learning. There was another one, Trashly, where you take a picture of something you want to dispose of, and it will tell you if that item is recyclable, and if so, what is the closest location where you could recycle it.
That's so cool.
So it was really cool. And how did I get to participate? Being one of the Google developer experts, we sometimes get advanced access to these types of innovations, new technologies coming out, and we get to try it out and give our unbiased opinion on the apps and the products. And basically, that was it. I was one of the GDEs who were selected to get this wonderful gift box and review the different apps that were featured.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. So, you know, going into kind of, you know, the expert side of you know, the Android developer expert, you know, you are an expert in Kotlin and Android development. One of the, you know, things that you've done in the past was you've taught courses over Castor.io. I know that you have you teach as part of the LinkedIn learning courses around preparing for the associate Android developer certification.
Right.
So what's the biggest kick that you get out of that? Because I mean, you really can't interact with those students, right? So.
Yeah. Okay. So there's several factors, right? I absolutely love learning. So that's the first step. I love to learn new things. And one of the best ways to learn something is to teach it to someone else. So part of why I love teaching is I just love learning something new and then being able to teach it to someone else and really making that knowledge my own. Also, even though I can't interact directly with the students per se, I do get tons of feedback from people about my courses, either on Twitter or via LinkedIn, and just say like, you know, thank you, I finally understand functions, or thank you, I had no idea how I should run my retrospective meeting for my team, or whatever it is. And I respond to everybody. I really appreciate people like reaching out to me and letting me know how they were able to benefit from something. And that is part of what keeps me going and keeps me very much interested in that sort of aspect of software development, is the fact that it matters to someone.
Yeah, I mean, I get a kick out of, again, looking at my LinkedIn feed, and I see you're resharing or reposting someone's certificate at the end of their course. They kind of you know, do a summary and thank all the instructors. And I get a kick out of looking at that because it's just so cool.
It's so nice. And they're so excited and I'm excited. Like, who knows where this will go? Will they be the next person who will develop some creative thing to help their community using machine learning? Like, I have no idea what the future will hold for that person. I absolutely hope it's something awesome and amazing. And that's exciting too, just the unknown. Like, who knows how this will help this person later in life?
Yeah, and it kind of like all that just, and this is why I wanted to talk to you, because it's just this, you're such a positive person with everything. I mean, you don't see a lot of other folks that are out there resharing that kind of stuff on like all of them. like every certificate that someone mentions you, it gets reposted, and it's so cool. And that's what this podcast is about. It's really kind of being positive and encouraging folks to continue with the learning, continue with programming, to see where it goes. So thank you for sharing all that.
Absolutely.
We'll pivot again once more into the Kotlin stuff. And this is just going to be a one real technical, I don't even know if you can count it as technical, but you know, here goes. You've written in a bunch of other languages besides Kotlin. And so you kind of know how cool some of the stuff you can do with it is. What's your favorite aspect of the language? So perhaps as compared to like Java, you know, is there something that's way cooler in Kotlin than there is in Java or something like that?
Yeah, hands down, extension functions. That to me was the game changer for Kotlin. So Flutter is a cross-platform framework from Google, and they're using Dart. And the last Google I/O that we had in person, I went and I found the Dart engineers, and I'm like, you need to add extension functions. You need to add it. When I was programming in Dart, I missed it so much. There were multiple occasions where I'm thinking to myself, this would be a great extension function, or this, you know what, this should be an extension function. And I think that aspect of the programming language, it's probably one thing that won it over for Android developers as well. The fact that you can add onto a class you don't even own, that is amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised at how, well, maybe not so surprised given, you know, Java's background, but given Java's background, I'm so surprised at how Kotlin has kind of taken over so quickly. It's, you know, you don't tend to see many developers out there start an Android project with Java.
No.
So, and I don't know if it's part of it's just the frustration that's been building with Java for so many years, or if it's just that, you know, because they look over and they'll see an iOS developer working with Swift and like, wow, that looks a lot easier. I'm like, yeah, it is. So it's interesting to kind of see how fast that's been, how the language has been progressing. But so that's no more technical questions. That's it. And what we'll do in the show notes, we'll put some information about what extension functions are. So that way, if you're interested, you can go check them out in Kotlin. So Anise, did you know that you wanted to get into software development kind of all along, you know, when you were younger?
Yes, I did. Okay. I think probably, I want to say it was around like fourth grade or so. Wow. Where I was on this, either I'm going to be a famous writer or I'm going to be a computer programmer. And there was this like eternal struggle that I kept having. And by fifth grade, that's when my math and science teacher was like, look, you have a gift for math and science. That's it. You must do something with this. And I basically just said, okay, so be it. I will be a computer programmer. Nice. So yeah, at a very young age, I did know that that's something that I wanted to do.
Excellent. Excellent. And you know, it's so, so inspiring now when you see that there are so many meetups for, you know, fourth and fifth graders that can come in and learn Scratch. Which is a programming language for younger folks or to get it, or just kind of anybody that wants to really kind of get into some of the concepts. It's a nice way to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, my own daughters, I've taught them, like I've played Scratch with them and I'll teach them little things. And my 11-year-old, she like walks around carrying my Python book. I have no idea if she's ever like reading it or doing anything, but it just like it travels from room to room. And it just cracks me up because the young people have such a power to absorb knowledge and information and put it together in clever, innovative ways. So I'm always excited when I hear about young people like pushing that part of their brains. I don't want it to be extreme because, you know, I don't think you should have to choose. Like, I don't think it should have to be either or, basically.
Right. But I mean, it's like I said, it's a neat thing to kind of see, you know, these kind of activities and just kids learning about it because it's a fun, it's a fun activity to do if you know, you're in the house and you've got a computer, you know, and it's a great skill to have, you know, now in the 21st century, I think.
Absolutely.
So how did you get started out as a developer?
I mean, I don't know if I'll say a traditional approach, probably it's pretty traditional, I guess. I did like science and technology from elementary school, middle school. I went to like a tech high school. And then my degree is in computer engineering. Okay. So from there, I basically kind of followed that path all the way till you know, being a programmer.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with not coming out of a boot camp either, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you do, you know, and because I have the same background, you know, 4-year degree in computer science. So very similar. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's just as cool, you know.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I think we're just a little older. That's why I think those kids are kind of realizing like, hey, wait, I don't have to pay that much money and still get all this information.
Exactly, and that's smart.
So yeah, you know, good for you guys, you young kids. oh man, but it's okay. So now. So you've kind of, you know, we'll kind of walk that whole history here in a matter of what, 6 minutes. But so now you're the director of engineering at Meetup. Congrats. Cause I think the last time I spoke to you, you weren't in that role. So congratulations on that role.
Thank you.
What are some of the challenges that you're seeing younger developers struggle with now? You know, that you've got coming in, and do you have any advice or a philosophy or something along those lines that you could use to encourage developers to follow to get better, be better?
Yeah, there are a few things I notice with younger engineers. I think that they want to be senior very quickly, maybe like more quickly than we did back then. But they're kind of missing out on what makes someone senior really. It's not, oh, okay, I've been coding for 3 years. I'm senior now. No, that's not it, right? There's different qualities and characteristics. Maybe you could code for 10 years and you might never be a senior engineer based on your thinking and how you approach things. So it's something about the desire to move so quickly up the ladder that I see. And partially, I think the issue is around just being able to communicate successfully, communicating with non-technical people, communicating effectively with designers and the product managers, and explaining your things in a way that they can understand the value add of your technical solution. It's ultimately boils down to communication. Like, that is the thing that I see that separates kind of mediocre engineers from great engineers, that ability to communicate effectively to multiple different types of stakeholders.
Yeah, that is great advice for anybody listening. That is great advice, because being able to communicate effectively, you know, straddling that technical, you know, non-technical fence, you know, game changer for your career.
Yes.
So, and I know you teach a course as mm-hmm. part of that LinkedIn Learning to talk about effective communication. So if you're interested in learning more about that, check it out on LinkedIn Learning. We'll put a link in the show notes about that. So I wasn't getting at that as a plug or anything, but it is a great course to learn how to do that, because a lot of folks, you know, again, you go through a boot camp, you go through 4-year university, nobody teaches you how to communicate with somebody else,
right?
Especially somebody who may not understand what you're talking about. So learning how to break it down. And, you know, if I can add one thing to your answer is, you know, from the organization. So not just communication, but learning how to better organize yourself is a big one for me that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. So. You're right. You're totally right. Absolutely. But,
so that's really good advice on how younger folks can kind of walk away with that. But and be patient. You know, you never know where the road's going to lie, and you don't want to be the senior developer somewhere and that's where you're stuck, because now you're senior and that's where you are. And it's hard for you to move away from that because now you've got that senior title. Just go with the flow. You know, I don't want to sound all hippie here, but really, guys, just chill
It'll
with
happen.
It. And go.
It'll happen. Yeah,
exactly. So great advice for other folks. What advice would you give yourself now that you have all these career experiences?
I think kind of the advice that I always think back for myself is work is not school. If anyone asks me, like, what's the biggest thing you've learned? Work is not school. I was so into school. Not that I wanted to go. I never wanted to go. But I absolutely loved to learn, and I wanted to get the A. And so I would always be working super hard towards that goal. And when I started out earlier in my career, I had that same mindset, like, okay, I'm going to work super, super hard, and then I'm going to get the A. But that's not really how work works. And just understanding the importance of being visible, making your work visible, making sure you take credit for what you achieve, establishing your own quote unquote personal brand, growing your network outside and beyond your company, even maybe your state or your country or whatever it is, those things matter a lot. Yes, you have to be technical. Yeah, you need to know your stuff, but it's bigger than that. So work is not school.
Right. And no, you're totally right. I mean, so if anybody's, you know, listening, write that down. That is fantastic advice to follow. Just know how to promote yourself, you know.
Yep.
Because nobody else cares besides you. Well, let me not say that. That's not the way to put it. Nobody else cares as much as you do about yourself.
Yes.
And so you are probably going to be the person in the best position to promote your own self. So I'll say it that way.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. All right. So what's one thing that you do that totally breaks the mold on being a programming nerd that you're willing to share? You know, anything that, you know, that, let's say, is it golf, riding bikes, skydiving, nerd out on Downton Abbey, you know?
Yeah, let's see. So I don't know if this would totally break the mold, but I really like poetry. I love writing poetry. I love reading poetry. I love hearing other people speak. So maybe that's one thing that I think kind of breaks the mold.
That counts.
I don't know if watching Murder, She Wrote counts, but
definitely that definitely counts. We want, that is the stuff we want in the podcast.
Okay. Yes. Watching Murder, She Wrote, watching Perot and watching Columbo and Matlock on like a rotation. That is my life.
Nice. That's perfect. So it's like if someone gave you a gift certificate to BritBox, you're all set.
I am set for life. I may not ever like create another course though.
Right. Okay.
Spend all my time watching it.
Yeah, I mean, because we want folks to understand that there's other stuff out there, and go experience all of it. And
absolutely.
You know, I recorded the first episode of this. I recorded with a friend from work, and we got into we talked about this. What makes you break the mold here? And he said, "Well, I've never seen Star Wars." And then we got into a 20-minute discussion about Star Trek, which is kind of like, oh, that totally is the mold.
Yes.
So, which is fine, totally fine. But we were talking about what breaks the mold in that. So perfect. Okay. So, and we want this podcast to be all about positivity. And you mentioned something before about, you know, giving the keynote in Italy and kind of not getting that reaction that you were looking for and being bummed out about it. Folks need to love themselves before they can show love to other developers. And, you know, loving themselves to be able to kind of get that confidence, that well of confidence that they can dig into. Because, you know, I've known you and I know you do a whole bunch of amazing things. And in my head, I know, like, it doesn't seem like you're somebody that would be down on yourself. But then again, you're a human being. So of course you're going to be down on yourself for something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about some of the accomplishments that you have in your life that you're most proud of, that you can go back to every time that you feel unsure about yourself and say, ah, that right there, that is where I'm going to, you know, I did that. And that's why I'm awesome. So forget about this other stuff. So,
okay. Let's see. Doing the LinkedIn Learning course on the programming foundations, that for me was huge. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is they wanted to talk to me maybe 3 or 4 times to make sure that they would choose me. So it's kind of, hey, we think you might be able to do this course, but we need to talk to you a few more times. So answer this question and tell us a bit about this. And then I kept thinking to myself, wow, maybe they don't think I can do it. And then, you know, then the imposter syndrome shows up and I'm like, well, maybe I can't do it. Because we need you to be yourself and we need you to be fun and engaging. And I'm like, but I am fun and engaging, you know, and I'm going back and forth with myself. This whole internal monologue about whether or not I can pull this course off. And I did. So for me, that was so exciting. It was so much fun recording it. And I got to dance, you know, like there was cake, you know, there was just this great experience. So that's something that I'll always look back on and just smile, because I didn't think I could do it. Maybe they weren't fully sure if I could do it, but I did it.
Yeah. I like, you know, that is so perfect right there. And that's the thing. It's just, you know, folks need to love themselves for, you know, first and have that, you know, be confident in yourself because you know you've done something. And if you haven't done something yet, it may be in that field, you've done things in other areas of your life that make you awesome. So yes. just dig deep into that well of awesome and go out there and be awesome in something else. So that's all that's fantastic. That right there. And now I'm going to go back and watch some of those and see if, cause I don't remember the dancing part in the videos. So I'm going to have to see that. Oh, you know, one other thing, and I didn't realize this, and I totally skipped over this when you mentioned writing. I'm my own production team and host of this podcast. So I'm sitting there doing research, making sure, you know, I want to try to get the program to have a flow to it. And I was, you know, what do you do when you do that? You just Google somebody, right?
Right.
So you said, okay, what's comes up? And then I saw that there was in DuckDuckGo, not in Google, but I use DuckDuckGo for a variety of reasons. But I noticed that there was an Amazon entry for you, and I didn't realize that you're a published author.
Yeah, I published my first poetry book.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
So because I downloaded it, I bought it. So I'm a paying, you know, I'm a customer, right? I bought a book, a Kindle book. And went to read some through some of it, and it's pretty cool stuff. So I gotta get a hard copy and then catch you at a convention sometime and get you to sign it. So
I'd be honored.
We'll do that. And that's it. You know, Anise, do you have anything else that you'd like to cover?
No.
Like, you want to public? Do you have anything that? Well, I won't say cover, but do you have anything else that you'd like to promote?
No, nothing else that comes to mind. Yeah.
All right. But we do have the LinkedIn Learning courses. And again, we'll have links to that in the show notes. And then just we'll have a link to your Twitter profile as well, because this way folks can know where you're going to be to do, you know, to listen to you talk and listen to some of your talks that you give. Folks, if you haven't listened to or give speeches there, you could probably find them on Google. I know there's a DevFest Florida website or the DevFest Florida YouTube channel that has one of your talks on it. So that's a great place to go check out some of Anise talking and giving speeches. So, you know, there you go. Thanks, and that's Mike. It.
Thanks.
Thank you, Anise. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know we had some scheduling issues that were kind of, you know, worked themselves out in the end, but thank you so much for joining us. Folks, this has been Anise Davis. Thank you so much for your time, Anise, today. And folks, next time we'll be back. So catch us then. Thanks so much.
Coding is not like the movie.